We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, time to talk a little British Open with Michael Breed, who joins us now, who usually joins us for the majors and everything else. You can get him on golf.com as well as Sirius and everything else. We had Hank Haney on before, who picked Tiger Woods. That's why we had him on, to explain that. We'll see who Breed has in mind for the British Open, which begins, well, you can watch Phil at 3 in the morning if you want to get up at 3. I might get up at 5. I don't know about 3, but I'll get up a couple hours in and watch it. Well, I'll tape it at 3 and catch up with Lefty along the way. So, Mike, what's going on?
How are you, Mike?
Doing well. Yourself?
I couldn't be better. Listen, I wanted to ask you one question. Uh-huh. How did you feel about Phil's move at the U.S. Open?
Listen,
I didn't get a chance to hear your thoughts.
I said at the time that it was complete frustration and felt that his excuse was him making it up. I thought he made it up. I thought it was a mistake to make it up, but I never thought he should be thrown out of the tournament, and I felt that what he got very lucky about is, and I didn't know it at the time, and I admit I didn't know the rule. Did not know it, but when I saw what happened that day, what I realized was he got very lucky. If he had stopped that ball with his foot or stopped it with his club, he would have been thrown out of the tournament. If he hit it back towards the hole, it's a two-stroke penalty, and then you cannot invoke any other rule, including even one that eliminates him from the tournament. So he got very lucky. I don't even know if he knew that. Maybe he did. But hitting it back to the hole saved him. It actually changed everything.
No doubt it was out of frustration and certainly
clearly out of frustration. You know, he wanted, here's the thing which people don't know, and I did know because I have some friends who are very close friends with him. He had been in to play Shinnecock like 5 extra times in recent weeks. Yep. Only thing he cares about is winning the U.S. Open because he wants that Grand Slam. He really thought he could win at Shinnecock, and when the tournament got away from him, he lost it. I mean, he just lost it. He was upset about the USGA. He was upset about some of the stuff that day that he saw. He understands the game very well, and he lost it. And that's what it came down to. He was so frustrated by that he was out of the tournament. He wants to win that tournament so badly. That's all he thinks about is winning the it to him is a quest to win the U.S. Open. That's his one thing. You know, he's finished second 6 times, but he had come in and had played it so many extra times and really thought he had a great chance to win and was very frustrated by what was going on.
And I think that's going to be a really important thing in this Open Championship. I think that sort of hangover, Phil really wants to kind of, you know, put himself back into the conversation.
Yeah. And he was very hurt. He was very hurt by some of the stuff that was said, especially by the guys across the pond.
You bet. There was a lot of talk about the behavior, and I think that's going to be a motivator.
You think he'll play well?
I think he'll play well. I don't think he'll win, but I think he'll play well. I think this golf course, you know, this is a golf course that, talk about out of hand. I mean, the golf course.
Yeah, I guess everything rolls forever, right? Everything.
330-yard 3-iron.
Right, so if you hit it straight down the middle, it just keeps going forever, right?
That's exactly right, and it's going to be, you know, bunkers are going to be obstacles to avoid, not necessarily carry, because the ball's rolling out 50, 100 yards,
right.
And at that point, you know, who knows what's going to happen, and the rough is kind of wispy. In all the conversations I've had, there's going to be some rather unfortunate breaks that are going to occur. That's just the way links golf is, and I what I would say is that, and the reason why a guy like Phil and people that don't necessarily, I mean, some people are even talking about Bernard Langer having a chance to play well. One of the things that you have to remember about links golf course is the yardage on the golf on the card itself is an irrelevant thing.
Gotcha.
It doesn't
That's a good
matter.
Point. That's a good point. It doesn't matter. They're going to get to the hole.
That's it. And so, you know, you've got a 460-yard hole.
Yeah.
They're going to hit 6-iron off the tee, and the thing's going to go out 335 yards because the ground is so firm. And then they're going to play well short. It's going to be a very, very interesting, and it's as wide open a championship as I've ever seen. You know, you come into the Masters, and everybody was playing well, and Tiger was looking good, and everybody – I mean, you could have picked anybody, and everybody would have gone, yeah, you're right, absolutely. Rom's got a chance, and Rory's got a chance. Everybody had a chance. This time, it's wide open, and nobody knows what's going to happen.
All right, Mike, how about – well, first thing, let me give you credit for something. I was talking with Michael Breed. You know, he's on Sirius, and he has the all his stuff, his instructional stuff and everything on golf.com. A couple of years ago, you made the point, and I believe if I remember right, you worked with him. You predicted that Brooks Koepka was going to become a great player a couple of years ago on the show, and I think you would work with him, if I remember right, or you just knew that this was going to happen, and you've been dead on. He has – I don't like the way he acts, and he's very cocky and everything else, which I usually don't mind an athlete. For some reason, I don't love him. I don't know why. But the bottom line is he has become a scary good player.
Well, I'll say this. I've not worked with Brooks, and I've watched him progress. I think that this is, we all know this is a guy who can control the golf ball and hits it as far as he wants. He's unaffected by all the things around him. It's almost like he's emotionless when it comes to the game. And I think one of the things that you have to do to be successful in major championships is you have to keep your temperament at an even keel. And I think that's one of the reasons why I don't think John Rahm is going to do particularly well in this, nor do I think he will do well in a U.S. Open. But a guy like Brooks Koepka, you're never going to hear him come out in one of these major championships and lose his cool. He's just not like that. And I think that you know, his ability to believe in himself is one of the most important assets that you can have. And certainly when you're playing in a major championship, it's one of those things that you're going to lean on. Look at what he's done in the last two U.S.
Open. He hit the ball so well off the tee in that U.S. Open on Sunday. It was unbelievable. I mean, really, he hit the ball. You couldn't hit the ball better. I mean, he hit every fairway. I mean,
he hit one bad shot, and that was on the 18th hole where he said, you know what, I'm just going to hit this long and left, and as long as I'm up there, I'm going to be fine. And that was the shot that he hit that, in my opinion, he hit it to where he had to hit it to avoid any circumstance that could have prevented him from winning the championship.
All right,
but I am telling you, that guy is talented. You know it. We all know it.
All right, we're talking with Mike Breed, British Open time. Hank picked – first, let me get this thought before we get on to who you like. Hank picked Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that? Do you give Tiger any chance to win this?
I mean, listen, it's hard to say that Tiger doesn't have a chance. I think Tiger's got a chance anytime he tees it up. The problem that I have with Tiger is that he hasn't shown me anything from a consistency standpoint that would lead me to believe that he's going to have a great week. And if you look at the things that I think are going to be important for Tiger and for everybody, really, I think it's you have to drive the ball in play. Now, is he going to have to hit driver? No, he's not going to have to hit driver.
He said hit 3-wood. He said he's going to hit irons.
Yeah, and by the way, this is a guy who's looking to not hit driver, looking to not
– Right,
sure,
so if he hits irons, he'll hit him down the middle and they'll roll.
Well, in theory,
Right.
But I go back to this. I think that what happens in this championship is, it's first of all, you have to pay attention to draws. And but I mean, what I mean by that is
what time you play.
What the weather is going to be. So I think that's going to be something that's going to be important.
Right.
But when it's all said and done, I do think that you have to find the fairway. And in order for you to be successful, you have to make putts. And I look at this guy. I look at the key statistics. Inside of 10 feet in putting, he's 134th on the tour. Three putt avoidance, he's 105th on tour. And inside of 5 feet, Mike, he's 166th on tour in those. And I think those are really key statistics. Now, you can say, well, greens are a little bit flatter, all that other stuff. I'm with you. But wind is something that
is going to be an
intangible in putting, and I think it's going to be a very difficult thing. And the final thing that I would say about Tiger is – he hasn't shown me that he can get all of it together in 1 week. When he gets to where he's feeling pretty good with his long game, the putter doesn't cooperate. And when the putter is cooperating, the long game isn't cooperating. And so when it all comes down to, I would never say Tiger doesn't have a chance. I just think that Tiger is, in my opinion, he's a year away. I think he talked about how he's modifying his swing a little bit, and I don't think that that's going to be a great thing. I think this, when you play in an Open Championship and you play in the wind, you have to flight the ball down, you have to change your shot shape. And in order for you to do that, you have to have control over, you have to own your golf swing as best you can. I don't look at him right now with his golf swing and think to myself, this is a guy who's got his golf swing and now he can make adjustments in that motion. And I don't think that he has that just yet. And so he's not a guy who he's not in my top five, I can tell you that. And he's not a guy who I think is going to have a great week. Having said that, he's Tiger Woods, and I'm fully prepared for that guy to go and do something
I'm not prepared for. No, I'm not. I'm with you. I don't think he'll win. The other thing is that he said, which I thought was, now I asked him about how Spieth get past his putting problem, and he said he thinks he's got the yips. Now, that's quite a statement that Spieth has the yips. I mean, maybe, I don't know what's wrong with his putting. How would you describe, and you're a guy who does all this instructional stuff, how would you describe what Spieth's problem is all of a sudden with his putting?
I would say that when it comes to Jordan has a situation with his eye line. When he sets up, his eyes get a little bit, they twist a little bit to the right-hand side, which is not uncommon for somebody that's left-handed. Anyway, regardless of that, I think this. I think when it comes, I don't believe that Jordan has the yips. That doesn't mean that he doesn't make strokes that are less than confident. And I think that's what happens to people when they lose their confidence. It's hard for them to trust what they're doing. They make motions, whether it's full swing or otherwise. They make motions that lack confidence. Now, I don't think that means that he has the yips. What I do believe is that Jordan is a great slow green putter. I believe that Jordan will have a very good putting week. Will he win? I don't believe he will win. But I do believe that he will be right there come the end of the championship. I think he's going to put himself in position, and I do think that he will make a lot of putts. You're talking about a guy who one of the advantages, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to putting in the wind, and this is where Jordan grew up in Texas. He's used to putting in the wind. Putting in the wind will make you do a couple of different things. And one of the things that it will make you do is it will force you to become target-oriented. And when you become target-oriented, you're not thinking about your stroke. You start thinking, okay, I've got to hit it over here. And you walk away from what's happening with the stroke. When you're putting in perfect situations, perfect greens, greens that are rolling at 13 or 14, the wind's not going to affect it. Now, all of a sudden, it's very easy to start thinking about your putting stroke. When you're putting in the wind, you become less mindful of what's happening mechanically, and you become much more aware of where you're hitting it in your target. I think that this is going to bode well for Jordan, and I think it's also going to be very good for Rory McIlroy, who's also been having some indifferent putting experiences when he gets on the green. And I think Rory's going to have another good week as well.
All right, any long shots? Who's your guys this week that you're looking for to have a big week?
So I've got a couple of long shots. Now, one of the guys who I believe is going to have a really good week is Webb Simpson. It's hard to say that a guy who goes out and wins the Players' Championship with 73 in the final round and performs the way he performs the first. It's hard to say that he's going to be a long shot.
He's 90 to 1. He's a long shot.
He's a long shot. And so, you know, if you look at what's going on with this guy, he won at the Players. He finished fifth at the RBC. He finished tied 20th. His short game stats are fantastic. His putting has turned around completely. If you look at his putting stats, it is phenomenal. He's fifth in strokes gained putting. He's 12th in total putting. He has completely solved his putting. As far as I'm concerned, he solved his putting issues. And this is another statistic that's really important. The putting average in the fourth round, he's 17th on tour in putting in the fourth round. Take Tiger Woods, for instance. Tiger Woods putts per round in the fourth round. He's 156th on tour. He goes from seventh in the first round to 156th on tour. Whereas a guy like Webb Simpson, if you look at those putting statistics, he's 17th on tour in fourth round putting. I look at all the things that he does, and I think scrambling is going to be a really important thing as well. He's 39th on tour in strokes gained around the green and 13th in sand save percentage. So I look at all this stuff, and I think you're going to get some bad breaks. Distance isn't really a big deal in this championship. He's going to be very, very solid from tee to green, and I think that this is going to be a an individual who's going to be right there, and I think he's going to have that Players Championship to feed off of. And I look for Webb Simpson to have a really good week.
All right, who's the other one?
So this is going to be an interesting one for you. We're not going to know much about this guy, but Tyrell Hatton.
I think that's my guy. That's what someone gave me him at 30-1 as my long shot. Someone said he's the horse for the course.
So I love Tyrell Hatton in this championship, and I'm glad that you see that. I think this is a guy who
I got to admit, it was a golf guy who gave him to me. But he's usually good, and he said this guy's the horse for the course. And I like a guy. Always try to find a guy who plays good on a particular course,
like
Bubba Watson does at Riviera, let's say, or something like that. And you know what? They say Hatton plays really, really well at Carnoustie.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, I do believe that. Because this golf course is as firm as it is, I really believe that the eventual winner is going to be a European. So I've got a couple of people that I'm looking at that I think are going to be right there at the end. Rory McIlroy obviously is one of those.
Okay.
Tommy Fleetwood and Justin Rose are going to be guys that are going to be there. Tyrell Hatton is a guy that I'm looking at. And by the way, another guy who I think is going to have a fantastic week, and do not look past this. This guy, the last four tournaments he's played in, he hasn't finished worse than second, and that is Molinari. I think Molinari is going to have a phenomenal week. Now,
wow.
I don't know what he's going off at.
Molinari, let me look him up. I got him right here. Let me see.
So while you're doing the looking up there, he finished tied second at the John Deere, won the Quicken Loans. That's on the PGA Tour. And then on the European Tour, well, he finished second at the Italian Open, and he won the BMW PGA Championship. That's his last. Those are his last four championships that he's played in. He's got 2 seconds and 2 firsts. And so when I look at this whole thing, I don't know where he is in the. You know, I'm not looking at the all the odds and all that stuff.
Right.
But Molinari is a guy who I think is going to be there. I think he's got a chance. That's another dark horse.
We're talking with Michael Breed. I gave you that. Hatton was 30-1, and Webb Simpson is 90-1, and Molinari is, I don't think, as bad as you think.
I think he's probably 33-1. I just pulled that up on the computer.
Yeah, he's 25, which is he's actually a pretty close to the top. A Tiger's 25. Molinari's 25 as an example. They're both 25.
So Molinari's not going to be a
still
a
25 is a good listen. We got to remember in golf the favorite's 10-1. So you know that's Dustin Johnson. So the first favorite's Dustin Johnson. The second favorite is Justin Rose. Let me ask you about a couple of guys. We're talking about Michael Breed. You mentioned you thought Rory would play well. Everyone's always trying to jump on Ricky Fowler all the time. What are you expecting from Ricky Fowler this weekend,
if
anything?
Jump on Ricky Fowler. I agree with you. And Ricky is a guy who, you know, we've all thought was going to win a major championship, and he likes this style of golf. I think that, you know, when you start thinking about who are the Americans that are going to have a chance to be successful in this environment, and I think this is nobody plays on this type of golf. They're playing on a runway. I mean, the golf ball is just ridiculous.
Is there anybody that would hurt? Is there anybody that would really hurt their game?
I think that the individual that's used to hitting the ball up into the air is gonna struggle. I think a guy that doesn't have diversity.
Will it hurt Dustin Johnson?
I don't think it's going to hurt Dustin Johnson.
Will it hurt John Rahm?
I think it will hurt John Rahm, not for ability's sake, but because of his mind. I think that this, you know, these major championships, and you know, when you talk about Opens, you talk about U.S. Open and the Open Championship, you're going to get things to happen to you that you're just not used to having occur. And eventually, at some point, and that's why I think Sergio Garcia is going to struggle in this.
Hey, why is everybody picking him?
I don't know the answer to that, except short game.
He's only 18-1. I mean, I can't believe that.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me. I just don't think that this golf course is going to bode well for. Now, look, Sergio's got great short game. He's got great creativity and great imagination. You need to have that. But at the end of this thing, can you keep your wits about you? Do you have that even?
No, I don't see that. And you know, Fleetwood, who I loved in the Open, hits it really high too. I don't know what about him there too, because he hits it really high too.
I do, but I think don't forget, Fleetwood owns a course record here at 63.
Oh,
and
he does.
Fleetwood
okay.
got 63 okay. at the U.S. Open
yep.
On Sunday.
And
so,
he played great on Sunday. He played great.
He played great on yeah. Sunday. So I look at Fleetwood, but again, I think, you know, okay, has anybody played on stuff like this recently? Likely not. But when you start thinking about players that have grown up in this area, they have played this style golf course in the past at some point. And I do think that when you're used to playing the ball close to the ground, which is what these players do, and I include Ricky Fowler in this, by the way, that this is not an uncommon thing to do, to drive this ball a little bit lower and a little bit closer to the ground. I think that bodes well for a guy like a Tommy Fleetwood. One of the things that I think is really important, and I've looked at the weather here, the weather when you it appears as if there is an advantage, and it's hard to know what's going to happen because the weather over there can change like crazy. If there is an advantage, the advantage is going to go to the players that are teeing off early in the morning on Thursday and late in the afternoon on Friday. There's supposed to be some rain that's going to come in. The wind, if it gets windy at any point, is going to happen on Thursday afternoon. So there's going to be some. There's a 55% chance that it's going to rain on
Friday
morning.
So that would be Mickelson as an example. Mickelson, yes.
Correct. And so when you start looking at this, the guys that are going to be early, late, those are the people that I think are going to have a very good opportunity. Ricky Fowler sits in that. So does Justin Rose. So does Webb Simpson. And actually, so does Patrick Reed, who's a guy who's extremely creative in his short game. So he's a guy that I'm kind of looking at. I'm still everything that I say that I see and say, it's all pointing to a European. And Justin Rose is my guy. I like Fleetwood. I like McIlroy. I like Molinari, and I like Simpson.
So, but your gun to your head is Justin Rose?
Justin Rose. Absolutely Justin Rose. I think Justin Rose, he has the temperament. He has the game. If he wins, he's going to assume number one player in the world. He doesn't want to get number one in the world by any other way than him winning. And so when you look at what this holds for him, I think this holds all the opportunity, all the chances. The ball striking is going to be phenomenal for him. I do not believe that he's going to be the guy that's going to put himself in harm's way. He will not make a bad decision, which I think is critical in this. You know, the whole thing to me in major championships is who makes great decisions coming down the stretch. And that to me, that Justin Rose, that's the guy who I think is going to make the great decision. And gun to the head, I'm going with Justin.
Well, the guys who tee off early in New York time tomorrow, Phil Mickelson's out at 3 o'clock with Cabrera Bello and Satoshi Kodara.
Yep.
He's out at 3 o'clock. Spieth is out at 5 o'clock with Rose and Afabonrat. They're out at 5 o'clock. So is Rahm, Ricky Fowler out at 5 o'clock. Then Tiger's out late. He's out at 10 o'clock in the morning. So yep. is Sergio. Dustin Johnson's out at 8 with Alex Noren. So those are the guys that are out early, late. So the early guys are the guys I mentioned. So those early 3, 4 a.m. guys is going to be Mickelson and Spieth among the guys who are out early.
Yeah, and I really believe that that's supposed to be the calmest part of the entire championship is that early on Thursday morning. They're talking about...
Have you ever played Carnoustie?
I have not played Carnoustie. Obviously, I'm well aware of it. The predominant wind is a westerly wind. The winds that they're going to get are all going to be sort of southwest. So pretty similar to what would be a typical wind or the prevailing wind. But in the morning on Thursday, it's going to be less than 10 miles an hour. It's going to go up a little bit in the afternoon, might sniff 15 miles an hour. And then on Friday, it's really going to be a little bit more of the same. The wind is going to be right around that 10 to 15 miles an hour. It's the rain that you pay attention to. They're not expecting a lot of it, but enough for it to be a nuisance. And so, like I said, if there is an advantage in the tee times, I see that the early on Thursday and the late on Friday is the advantage there. And as I said before, you know, you look at those tee times, and right there you've got Justin Rose sitting right in the middle of that. And I just think that this all points to Justin.
Mike, we're talking about Michael Breed, of course, on golf.com and also, of course, on the on Sirius on the Golf Channel. The U.S. Open, I mean, the British Open is like the Masters in that unlike the PGA and the U.S. Open, they don't like to put these mega groups together like the U.S. Open does and put three stars together. There's some thought that some people have that when you put three stars together, they actually hurt each other's chances. Do you buy into that at all? Do you think there is that competition when you put three great players in the group together that it actually hurts their chances to win?
I don't think at all.
Some people have made that point that they get too competitive and they get hung up on each other and that they don't play their regular game and stuff like that. You're not someone who believes that.
No, in fact, listen, Mike, you and I both know this. We're doing radio stuff all the time. People have to come up with stuff. They just have to make stuff up in order for them to sound intelligent. I think there are times where people just make stuff up, and that, to me, is one of those. I mean, you hear all the time that people draft off another one's success. Look at what happened with Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson a couple of years ago. Those are two marquee players. They come in on – they played some of the greatest golf I've ever seen.
Mickelson never played better, and he didn't win because Stenson was unbelievable.
Yeah, and so you take two players like that and you put them in a – those are marquee players, and they go out there and they play together, and they play fantastic golf. I don't buy into that idea that putting stars together hurts anybody. If it does anything, I think it helps, but I don't think it hurts. The one thing I will say is it doesn't spread out the patrons as much as it could. You're going to get people that are going to follow a group instead of kind of hanging around holes and watching players come through. So I think
spreading it out, and British Open likes to spread it out completely, where they have guys pretty much throughout the whole day who are stars.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think what ends up happening too when you do that stuff is that you end up getting people that are all around the golf course. And so it does, I think, create a very good atmosphere because you don't have one group follow, a lot of people following, Tiger and Phil and whomever, right? It's spread out across the golf course. And so you get people that love Justin Thomas and Francesco Molinari and Brandon Grace. Brandon Grace is kind of in there, but he's not really that marquee name where Justin Thomas is. And then you've got Jason Day who's following that with a couple of people that nobody's really even heard of. So, to me, I think you take a Tiger Woods and put him with a Matsuyama and a Russell Knox, who, by the way, Russell Knox is another guy that I'm kind of looking at. I don't think he's necessarily going to win, but he's coming in good form, and he's also comfortable in the environment. But I look at this whole thing. I think they do a very nice job of making sure that there's a marquee individual pretty much in at least two out of every three groups as that championship is unwinding.
Listen, thanks for your time. Appreciate it very much as always.
Always good to catch up.
Enjoy the weekend. Thank you.
Yeah, you as well.
Thank you. Michael Breed back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.